Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the shocking revelations uncovered by 60 Minutes that members of Congress enjoy a unique privilege exempting them from insider trading laws, which they have used to make millions in stock trades that would land an ordinary citizen or a Wall Street banker in jail. The Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy, Lisa Graves, joins us to explain this legalized larceny and whether the Stock Act that has languished in Congress could be revived by citizen outrage. Then we will discuss the mounting pressure from the Arab League and Jordan's King Abdullah on the Assad regime to step down and stop murdering the Syrian people. Bassam Haddad, the Director of the Middle East Studies Program at George Mason University, joins us to discuss whether the increasingly isolated Assad clan will respond to outside pressure, whether an armed rebellion is the only way to remove them. Then finally, we will talk about how the GOP became the party of the rich, the title of a special report in the latest edition of Rolling Stone by Tim Dickinson, who joins us to explain how the party of Lincoln became the party of the Koch brothers, and how Grover Norquist, the den mother of young conservative activists, who has been described as Liberace with a wife, became the most powerful lobbyist in Washington responsible for the greatest transfer of wealth in history from poor and middle-class Americans to the top 1%. Joining us now is Lisa Graves, the Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy. She's the publisher of PR Watch, Source Watch, Bankster USA, and ALEC-exposed.org. She previously served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government and as a leading strategist on civil rights advocacy and as a law professor at George Washington University. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lisa Graves.
Ian, thank you so much for having us on. I really appreciate it.
And I thought that I had reached a threshold of outrage about Washington, but watching the 60 Minutes piece on how the Congress is exempt or have exempted themselves from insider trading and how many, many Congress people, quite prominent ones, have taken advantage of this loophole, I must say I was just absolutely fuming. Well, how did you react to it?
I was shocked as well, Ian. We've been tracking corruption and the extraordinary influence of corporations on politicians, and then to see this story from 60 Minutes about how some politicians appear to be trading on special knowledge that they get to make a fortune, and that they have stopped efforts by Congressman Brian Baird and others to regulate that insider trading was really stunning. It was revelatory.
And, of course, Brian Baird is no longer in the Congress, which is probably why he spoke out. He has introduced the Stock Act in 2004, and which would make it illegal for members of Congress to trade stocks on non-public information and to report stock trades every 90 days instead of once a year. He managed to get Congresswoman Louise Slaughter on board, but he could only get six co-sponsors. So what does that tell you about the Congress?
Well, it's actually really stunning. Congressman Baird, it's a huge loss to the United States Congress that he has retired to spend more time with his family, because his Stock Act, I think, was a very good first step. And it wasn't even the type of bar that I would call for in terms of saying if you're a member sitting on a committee with jurisdiction over a particular industry, you shouldn't have any stocks in that industry at all. You shouldn't have any appearance of impropriety or conflict of interest at all. His measure was a very modest but important disclosure remedy to basically say if Congress people are trading in stocks, if their portfolios are changing, they have a duty to notify basically the public of that so the public can make their own decision. And it went nowhere. You're right, Congresswoman Slaughter of New York co-sponsored it along with a couple of others, but it fell on deaf ears in Congress, unfortunately.
Well, one of the more outrageous revelations, I thought, was Congressman Spencer Baucus, who bought stock options against a market fall on privileged information that he'd gotten from a crisis meeting when the financial crisis was unfolding in 2008, getting this information from Hank Paulson and Ben Bernanke, and then immediately going out and shorting the market, knowing what was going to tank, and making a ton of money. I mean, not only is that disgusting, it also feels like being a vulture. You're preying on a wounded country at a moment of crisis.
I agree with you. 60 Minutes was strained to say that they weren't suggesting that Mr. Bok is engaged in any crime, and that's in part because Congress has refused to regulate itself and make that sort of activity criminal. When I heard about the stock transactions of Congressman Baucus of Alabama, a longtime Republican member of the House, who actually profited by betting against the American, basically betting against the American economy, trying to make a gain from the failure on Wall Street, I was just sickened. And I think this demands a congressional investigation, a full investigation of his stock transactions. And I think actually, I think Congress should use this as an opportunity to clean its house and say that they will not tolerate the type of behavior that it appears that Congressman Bok is engaged in. I hope the people of Alabama are paying close attention to what Mr. Bok has did in betting against America and betting against the American economy with information that no other Americans outside of Congress, outside of the government, had at that time.
Again, I'm speaking with Lisa Graves, Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy, and we're talking about the 60 Minutes report that revealed that Congress has exempted itself from insider trading rules and that members of Congress routinely act on privileged information, non-public information, which they have access to since, of course, they make the laws. The House Majority Leader, Eric Cantor, he declined to say today whether or not he would support a law making it illegal for members of Congress. Do you think that, and he wasn't familiar with the details of the Stock Act, were, by the way, most of the congressmen that Steve Croft of 60 Minutes ambushed on their way down the steps of Capitol Hill, they also were unaware of it, and not surprisingly. Apparently, Cantor has been making killings off the recent economic hostage crisis that he and others generated. So not surprisingly, he is not rushing to reform. But apparently 60 Minutes are doing a piece on Cantor. Whether or not they'll reveal this stuff later, I don't know.
Well, it certainly is stomach-turning, and the fact is that Eric Cantor has a leadership role within the United States House. He is one step below Congressman Boehner, who was also implicated in the 60 Minutes story for his lucrative trading around health insurance stocks at the time that the health insurance reform was going through. The fact that the leaders of Congress aren't aware of efforts to basically reform their activity, I think, reveals a lot about how in essence, willfully ignorant some of these members are. But I actually think that it's quite probable that they're not as ignorant as they may say. The fact is that they know that there's not a bar on them trading stock. And, you know, I think that some of them apparently are using it to their full advantage. Some of these members come to Congress to be public servants or take a public servant salary, and meanwhile, as 60 Minutes documented, become millionaires while they're there, and then beyond that, once they get out of Congress.
Well, specifically, Eric Cantor apparently made lots of shady trades, including a short on U.S. Treasuries during the debt limit debate. So there you have, you know, Dracula in charge of the blood bank and draining the country's lifeblood.
No, I think that's right. I haven't seen the original piece on that, but what I've heard, Ian, is precisely as you say. It's a little bit like, as I've said about some of the activities I've seen in my time in Washington and beyond, it's a little bit like putting the termites in charge of the treehouse. It's not like letting the hen house, the fox guard the hen house. At the end of the day, you have a hen house. With some of these guys to be trading on their insider information against the country's interest to benefit their own financial bottom line, it really is destructive of the institution of Congress. It's destructive of our democratic process, and it basically suggests that there's no accountability and that these people, these members who've been elected, feel so emboldened that they don't think that they'll be held accountable. They must think their districts are awfully safe.
Well, of course, the point being, of course, it's not illegal for them to buy stock. Excuse me. It's not illegal for them to buy stocks and to engage in land deals. Now, Hastert was singled out for making land deals. I think the 60 Minutes actually confused a couple of things, because that wasn't a stock transaction. That was an earmark. And that is just totally common. I mean, we have a bunch of crooked congressmen out here in the Inland Empire that have been making land earmarks off freeways, where they get the special earmarks, and then they know where the freeway's going, so they buy up all of the land at the off ramps. That's quite common. There's a guy called Ken Calvert, former real estate guy out at Riverside, a Republican, who's made a career out of making money out of earmarks. He's still in the real estate business. It's absolutely amazing that this stuff goes on. So you mentioned there might be some outrage at the district level with Spencer Backus down in Alabama. What are you basing that optimism on?
No, I suppose I'm just hoping that people are paying attention, because I think that the fact is that it's not illegal, but that doesn't mean it's not corrupt. And this sort of activity certainly bespeaks a form of corruption that should be weeded out. People should be held accountable. I hope that Congressman Backus gets a lot of questions from his constituents about what he was doing with betting basically against the American economy and trying to take advantage of the fall, the crash in our economy, apparently, in the fall of 2008. I unfortunately, with respect to Mr. Backus and even Mr. Hastert, the former Speaker of the House from Illinois, who profited big from those earmarks on highway funds, basically the earmarks to build a highway across Illinois to the tune of, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars was the actual earmark. His profit for himself, I think, has not fully been outlined, but it is a form of corruption, and I think that the American people are waking up to how much corruption has been going on in Washington. But I don't know, given the way things have been districted and how the redistricting rules have been done in terms of how safe districts are, whether any of these politicians will pay any price at the ballot box for their conduct. Or their misconduct, really.
Well, Lisa Graves, the two big names that were in the CBS report on how insider trading is legal for people in the Congress were Nancy Pelosi and John Boehner. Boehner, of course, denies it and said that the trades were made by his business manager, and he had no knowledge of it. And also, Pelosi's come out with a very strenuous denial and citing the author of the report, of the book that 60 Minutes had based some of their reporting on, Peter Schweitzer at the Hoover Institution, who's the editor of BigPiece.com, which is a website founded by the conservative activist Andrew Breitbart. I guess that's, you know, attacking the messenger there. We'll see whether or not the information pans out. But why is it that the executive branch people have to put their holdings into blind trust? Why not the Congress? Because they have access to privileged information.
Well, I think you're right. I think that there's no excuse, really, for not having better rules for Congress. They should have blind trust. They shouldn't know what's in their stock portfolio. It should be blind. They should be blind to whether they profit or loss. In the case of Mr. Boehner, he has said that his financial advisor apparently made some especially well-timed investments related to health care, right, as the health care debate and resolution, in essence, the compromise that allowed the changes to go through, were going through. It seems mighty coincidental to me, but I suppose he's made his statement, and if anyone ever investigates, they may get to the bottom of what the truth is. But even knowing that you have financial advisors who may be looking out for different bills before Congress and in terms of trying to have a congressman benefit from them, I think it's unseemly. I think it creates an appearance of conflict of interest. I think it creates an appearance of corruption. And I think that in some instances, it may actually demonstrate actual corruption. I don't think these members ought to have stock portfolios or investment funds where they know what the stocks are. in terms of the corporations or industries that they're investing in. I think that it's just too close, given the inside information they have, for them to have those sort of investments. It means that they could stand to profit from the very decisions they've been put in Congress to decide as representatives for us, the American people, not as representatives for the corporations and not as representatives for their own personal profits.
Well, I guess we'll see how these congressmen, particularly Nancy Pelosi and Boehner, defend themselves, and Cantor, too, who wasn't even touched by that report, even though apparently he's pretty active in insider trading and recently went to Wall Street and promised all of the speculators that if the Republicans got elected, they'd take all the restrictions off. And we know that what restrictions they have are pretty weak at this moment, since they were, the price of oil, the price of food has been gamed outrageously in the last couple of years. So just in closing, what Lisa Gray's just in the last few seconds here, do you think that we are in fact going to see some movement on the Stock Act? Or how do people make that happen?
Well, I think that there may very well be outcry in response to 60 Minutes investigation, and that there will likely be calls on Congress to pass that act. Whether that House will pass it remains to be seen, but I think that it's one more fact, one more set of facts that demonstrates what many people believe about Washington being broken. And so I suspect that there may very well be pressure to pass that Stock Act. I hope that there's pressure to go further than that and bar them from holding stocks, not just reporting on the stocks that they hold.
I thank you for joining us, Lisa Graves.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with Lisa Graves, who's the Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy. She's the publisher of PR Watch, Source Watch, Bankster USA, and ALEC Exposed. She previously served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as a leading strategist on civil liberties advocacy, and as a law professor at George Washington University. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll get an update on Syria.